Welcome back, everyone. Today's deep dive is going to be about something you probably interact with every single day without even thinking about it.
Absolutely.
It's the thickness of plastic parts.
Oh, wow.
More specifically, how the injection molding process determines that thickness.
Okay.
You sent over some really cool material to get us started.
Yeah.
Excerpts from this article called "How Does the Injection Molding Process Affect the Thickness of Plastic Parts?"
Great article.
And let me tell you, this stuff is way more fascinating than it sounds.
It really is. Injection molding is like this
The first.
hidden design language shaping so much of our world.
Yeah.
Think about it from the sleek lines of your smartphone to the robust durability of car parts. It's all thanks to the precision of this process.
Okay, so let's unpack the science behind this.
Okay.
The article dives into a few key factors,
Right.
starting with injection pressure.
Okay.
And it's kind of like the driving force behind getting that melted plastic into every nook and cranny of the mold, right?
Okay,
Got it.
exactly. And it's a delicate balance.
Yeah.
Too little pressure, and you risk those thin, weak spots, especially in intricate designs.
Okay.
Imagine trying to fill a complex mold for a phone case.
Yeah.
If the pressure's not right, you might end up with gaps or inconsistencies
Oh, wow.
that compromise the entire structure.
So it's got to be perfect.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like trying to evenly frost a detailed cake with weak frosting. It's just not going to reach all the corners right.
That's a great analogy.
You're right.
Now, on the flip side, too much pressure can be just as problematic. Excess material, known as flash, can form,
Okay.
or in extreme cases, the mold itself could be damaged.
Oh, so it's not as simple as just cranking up the pressure to get the job done faster?
Not at all.
Got it.
You see, engineers use sophisticated simulations,
Oh, wow.
some of which can predict thickness variations down to a fraction of a millimeter. They use these simulations to determine the ideal pressure for each unique part, ensuring both quality and efficiency.
That's incredible. It's like
Yeah.
they're using virtual blueprints to fine-tune every aspect of the process.
Precisely.
Wow.
And once the mold is filled, there's another critical factor that comes into play: holding pressure. This
Okay.
is all about maintaining pressure as the plastic cools and begins to shrink. Think of it like this: you've perfectly filled a mold for, say, a car's dashboard.
Right.
But if you don't maintain the right pressure during cooling,
Oh, yeah.
it might warp or shrink, losing its intended shape.
Oh, so it's almost like giving the plastic a gentle hug as it solidifies,
That's a great way to put it.
making sure it stays true to the mold's form.
Now, if you don't apply enough holding pressure,
Yeah.
you risk ending up with a part that's thinner than intended,
Oh,
with
wow.
potentially compromised structural integrity. The article included a table highlighting this, and it's really eye-opening to see how even slight variations in holding pressure can dramatically impact the final part.
That's interesting. I'd love to get into that table in a bit.
Yeah.
But first, what happens if you go overboard with a holding pressure?
Well, just like with injection pressure, there's a risk of creating flash
Okay.
or introducing internal stresses within the plastic.
Got it.
These stresses can lead to warping or cracking down the line.
Wow.
Even if the part looks fine initially, you might think you're getting a more robust part,
Right.
but you could actually be creating hidden weaknesses.
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah.
So finding that sweet spot for holding pressure is crucial for both the immediate and long-term quality of the part.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And another layer to this is the holding time,
Right.
how long that pressure is maintained.
Okay.
Too short, and the part might not fully form,
Yeah.
leading to those dreaded sink marks or voids. Too long, and you're sacrificing efficiency,
Right.
which impacts production costs and timelines.
So another balancing act.
Yeah.
This is all starting to sound like a carefully choreographed dance between pressure timing and temperature.
You're exactly right. And speaking of temperature, let's talk about the mold itself.
Right. The article mentions mold temperature as being super important
Well,
too.
why?
It seems like it would impact how quickly the plastic cools and solidifies.
It's absolutely critical.
Okay.
You see, the mold temperature is like a thermostat for the whole process. Think of it like baking a cake.
Okay.
If your oven is too hot, the cake might burn on the outside while remaining raw in the middle.
Yeah.
Similarly, if the mold is too hot, the plastic might cool unevenly,
Oh.
leading to warping or inconsistencies in thickness.
And if the mold is too cold.
Then the plastic could solidify too quickly before it has a chance to properly fill all the intricate details of the mold.
Right.
Imagine trying to pour thick, cold honey into a delicate mold. It's just not going to flow properly.
So with mold temperature, it's all about finding that Goldilocks zone. Not too hot, not too cold, but just right for the specific plastic and part design.
You nailed it. Getting that balance right ensures smooth flow, prevents excessive shrinkage, and ultimately leads to higher quality parts.
Okay, I'm starting to see how all these factors are interconnected. It's like an intricate puzzle where every piece has to fit perfectly.
That's a great way to think about it.
Yeah.
And we've only just scratched the surface. There's another key player in this puzzle that we need to discuss: gate design.
Gate design.
Yes. Now you might be wondering, what exactly is a gate when we're talking about injection molding?
Yeah.
Well, it's the entry point where that molten plastic flows into the mold. It might sound simple, but gate design can dramatically affect the final part's thickness and overall integrity.
So I'm picturing it like the opening of a funnel. So a smaller gate would mean a more restricted flow of plastic, right?
Exactly. Think of it like trying to fill a water balloon with a tiny hose.
Yeah.
It would take forever, and you might not even get a uniform shape.
Right.
In the context of injection molding, a small gate can lead to thin, weak sections, especially in parts with complex geometries or areas further away from that gate.
So it's like the plastic is racing to fill the mold, and a small gate creates a bottleneck that slows everything down.
That's a great way to visualize it. And this is where the engineering expertise really comes in.
Yeah.
They carefully consider the size and placement of the gate to ensure that the plastic flows smoothly and evenly throughout the mold.
The article mentions a case study where a large part ended up with thin, weak sections because the manufacturers used a small gate. I'm guessing they didn't account for how that restricted flow would impact the final product.
Precisely.
Wow.
They focused on other factors like pressure and temperature, but the gate design ended up being their Achilles heel. It's a classic example of how even a seemingly small detail can have a huge impact on the entire injection molding process.
So it's not just about getting the plastic into the mold. It's about making sure it flows in the right way to create a strong, uniform part.
Exactly. Now let's talk about the flip side. What happens when you use a larger gate?
I'm imagining it's like upgrading to a fire hose to fill that water balloon much faster and more efficient.
You got it. A larger gate allows for a more robust flow of plastic,
Right.
which can lead to greater uniformity in thickness and reduce the chances of those weak spots forming.
Okay.
Imagine molding something like a car's bumper.
Yeah.
Using a strategically sized and placed gate ensures that the plastic flows evenly into all the curves and contours,
Right.
creating a strong, impact-resistant part.
So gate size seems pretty straightforward. Bigger is usually better, right? But what about gate placement? The article mentions that as a critical factor too.
Absolutely. Placement is just as crucial as size. Think about it like designing a sprinkler system for your lawn.
Okay.
You wouldn't put all the sprinklers in one corner, right?
Right.
You'd strategically place them to ensure even coverage across the entire yard.
Makes sense. So if you place the gate in the wrong spot, you could end up with parts that are thicker in some areas and thinner in others.
It all comes down to understanding how the plastic will flow through the mold.
Okay.
Engineers use simulations and their knowledge of fluid dynamics to determine the optimal gate location for each specific part design.
Wow.
It's like solving a puzzle,
Right.
finding the perfect entry point for the plastic to create a balanced and consistent flow.
This is all really fascinating. It's amazing to think about the level of detail and precision that goes into creating something as seemingly simple as a plastic part.
It's a true testament to the ingenuity of engineers and the power of this manufacturing process.
Yeah.
And we're just scratching the surface here. There are so many other factors that come into play,
Boy.
like the type of plastic being used, the
Yeah.
complexity of the mold design, and even the cooling rate.
It sounds like a symphony of variables all coming together to create the final product.
That's a great analogy. And just like a conductor guiding an orchestra, the experienced engineers orchestrate all these elements to create high-quality functional plastic parts.
It's incredible to think about all these factors kind of working in harmony. You know, before diving into this deep dive, I never really considered what goes into making a simple plastic bottle or a phone case. But now I'm seeing these everyday objects in a whole new light.
I think that's one of the most rewarding things about understanding engineering and manufacturing. It gives you this newfound appreciation for the ingenuity behind the things we often take for granted.
Absolutely. And I bet this knowledge makes you a more informed consumer, too.
Yeah.
You probably pay closer attention to the quality and durability of plastic products now.
I definitely do. Understanding how factors like injection pressure, holding pressure, and gate design influence a part's strength and longevity definitely makes you more discerning.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here. Can we circle back to that table of the article mentioned earlier?
Sure.
The one about holding pressure and time. It seemed like there were some key takeaways there that we should highlight.
Absolutely. That table really underscores how crucial it is to find that sweet spot for holding pressure.
Right.
If the pressure is too low, you end up with a part that's shrunken and weak like a deflated balloon.
Mm-hmm.
But if you crank up the pressure too high, you risk introducing internal stresses that could cause the part to warp or crack later on, sort of like squeezing a tube of toothpaste too hard.
Right. And it's not just about finding the right pressure. It's about maintaining it for the optimal amount of time.
Right.
What did the table show about the impact of holding time?
Right. Holding time plays a huge role, too.
Okay.
If the holding time is too short, the plastic might not have a chance to solidify completely, leading to imperfections like sink marks or voids.
Uh-huh.
But if you hold the pressure for too long, you're essentially wasting time and energy,
right,
which increases production costs and slows down the whole manufacturing process.
It's like baking a cake. If you pull it out of the oven too soon, it will collapse.
Yeah.
But if you leave it in too long, it'll dry out.
That's a perfect analogy.
Yeah.
It really highlights the importance of precision and control in injection molding.
Yeah.
You need to get all these variables just right to create a high quality part.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave our listeners with something to ponder.
Okay.
We've talked about how all these factors impact the thickness of plastic parts.
Right.
But what about using these principles to create innovative new products?
That's a fantastic question. Imagine using variations in thickness to create flexible areas in an otherwise rigid part. Like a phone case that's both protective and bendable.
Yeah.
Or think about strategically placing gates to achieve specific flow patterns and textures.
Okay.
Creating unique surface finishes.
It's amazing to consider how a deeper understanding of these seemingly technical aspects can actually unlock so much creative potential.
Exactly. It's a beautiful example of how science and art can intersect to create innovative and functional products.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows what incredible innovations the future holds, all thanks to a better understanding of this versatile process.
Well said. It's been a fascinating deep dive into the world of injection molding.
It has been.
Thanks for sharing your expertise and insights with us.
My pleasure. It's always exciting to explore the often overlooked wonders of engineering and manufacturing.
Until next time, keep exploring and stay curious.